God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. Have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today, and he's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today, and he's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church. righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today. He's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. Have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today. Building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today. And he's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour. Righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today. He's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. Oh, it will never fall away. He's restoring it today, and he's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today, and he's building it with stones like you and me. Church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. Oh, it will never fall away. He's restoring it today, filling it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. Ladder rain for all the world to see. Oh, it will never fall away. Oh, he's restoring it today. And he's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour with righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. Oh, it will never fall away. Restoring it today, and he's Jesus Christ is building a church. Oh, Jesus Christ is building a church. On the rock it will stand. It's not like the works of man. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that Jesus built. Oh, Jesus Christ is building a church. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ is building a church. Oh, Jesus.
have enough vision to know that Jesus is building a church. There's a lot of churches being built out here. I've spent a lot of time in the last few years with a group of people, and there's a lot of Christians involved, a lot of different churches, and they're all very sincere in what they do, and good people, but all the different churches that they're involved in, I mean, I get to be connected with that and be reminded of all that a lot through those connections, and I think, you know, there's, like Brother Smith was saying today, all these divisions, all these different, you know, things, and yet those churches have all been built by men, by ideologies, and, you know, but to know, to have enough of vision to know that there's a church that Jesus Christ is building, that there is a church that he's restoring, there is a place where he's gathering, and to feel, I believe, you know, as far as I know, that he's given me a chance to be part of that. And when I'm around all these other people, and I, you know, and I think, well, how do I? Apparently, I'm not doing something quite right yet because I hadn't got anybody, you know, hungry enough to know what's different. So I'm, you know, I'm hoping God will show me and help me to see that my light will shine better. But to, you know, to think why, you know, why, where, how did I rate? You know, it's amazing. You really stop and think about it. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I don't want to lose that amazement at that awe, whatever it is that he chose me. That reminded me of another song when she was singing these songs about building the church. We have one, at some point, I don't remember how it starts, but Jesus included, I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. I want to be part of that. And in the house that he's building on the top of Mount Zion, he included me. He included me. How many people come and go? How many? I've seen a lot. I can't even begin to count. And that's just in my short life. Yeah, it's a short lifetime. Y'all can argue if you want to, but I still think it's a short lifetime. I've seen how many come and go. And then there's the ones that don't even come. They just pass by and maybe get a glimpse and go on. They don't ever feel that hunger. He included me. Me. He included me. That's amazing. I don't want to lose the excitement over that. I don't want to lose that thrill that he gave me a chance, that he's touched my eyes. I want to stay thankful, thankful, thankful for that. That so far, you know, maybe my vision is dimmed here and there along the way, but I got it adjusted. You know, I got my prescription fixed. Whatever, I found the eye doctor. I'm so thankful that I still see. I'm so thankful that he's still allowing me to be a part. I'm just glad to be here.
I don't think I'll need it. It's probably more wore up in a couple hours, but yeah, right. Jesus Christ is building the church, isn't he? And those songs reminded me of an event that I heard of, was reported to me about a certain young man that was distraught for whatever reason and walked out of the church, and someone went to check on him, you know. And, well, what's going on? He said, well, all my relatives are a certain persuasion of, you know, Christianity, and they don't, they say that you know, that we don't teach the same Jesus, you know. In other words, I guess they were saying that, you know, he's preached, they teach another Jesus, a different Jesus. And then heard on the radio about a minister that were had a message on strange fires. You know, I think it's a referral to Pentecostal people. And to his credit, there are some strange things in Pentecost, aren't there? Some, and you know, not we're not responsible for everything that goes on in this world, and neither are you. You know, I mean, everything that I come out of the Assembly of God Church, and there's you know, there's a lot of good people in Assembly of God Church, a lot of good people, and there's I'm sure there's strange things that happen. Well, they're not responsible because you know. Things just happen, you know. When you deal with people, things happen. And but with a message that goes out on the radio and things like that, and we tend to get bunched together, you know. If it's Pentecost, then it's strange fire. And, but you know, the Bible says. The Bible says their rock is not our rock, isn't it? and that Jesus Christ is building the church, and we as He, not to be in a militant spirit or anything, but in humility, will go without the camp, bearing our reproach if needful. And yes, sometimes our lives don't reflect where people come up to us and, oh, what church do you go to? You know. Because a lot of people are actually, in today's society right now, looking for a superstar. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're children, mom and dad was just mom and dad. But when you grew up and you had children of your own, you really appreciated mom and dad, didn't you? All of a sudden, they were superstars, wasn't they? When you realized what they had to do. And so, you know, what we find ourselves to be, you know, plain and just everyday people, sort of, kind of. At least I hope I'm not too strange, you know. There used to be a song on the radio that says, when you're strange, nobody remembers your name. just saying. But, you know, I'm thankful for that Jesus Christ is building a church and that I'm thankful to be here. Didn't you appreciate the message Brother Smith gave this morning? Wasn't that good? You know, that's one of those that I like, you know. And sometimes they're good for you, aren't they? But, you know, Brother Smith mentioned a shelf, you know. You hear something and just can't get it chewed up enough, can't squall it, just put it on a shelf a while, you know. It don't mean he wasn't talking about. I wasn't talking about food. Did you take it? You may have like bubble gum, put it under a seat or something. You know? What I meant was, it just seems something that's strange to you. But did you know if you never hear anything different, you'll never know. And sometimes to learn, you have to be taken out of your comfort zone because. You know, if you don't, who was it? I think Brother Talley mentioned, you'll just cut off the end of the ham and never know why you cut off the end of the ham. And so I'm thankful that we got a place to come to and consider our ways. to learn, to have a hope. And I'm certainly thankful to be here tonight.
Well, this is a learning place. And, you know, there was a time when I didn't like to go to school because there wasn't anything that really suited my interest. And then I got a chance to go to a higher learning area, and I enjoyed it and did great. A lot of times you go to church and you go home, and, okay. Well, here I look forward to coming to church each and every service because I know there's words of teaching, and I desire to hear these words. And not everybody in this world is ready to hear what's good for them or even what's good. They just want to be comfortable. And They're, you know, like the war between the sun and the wind. Who could take the cloak from the man? The wind couldn't blow it away, but the sun just warmed up a little bit, and then man took the cloak off. We can turn our light up, but if people aren't looking, they're not going to see it. People have to be looking in order to see what's coming their way. I've been here for nearly 20 years, and this has been the greatest 20 years of my life. There has been things talked about that before I got here, I was studying diligently and putting my mind to it, thought I had it figured out, only to find out that it's nowhere near what I thought it was. All we know is the world until God touches us and He opens our eyes and lets us see what the real plan is. I believe He's using Brother Smith to open our eyes. Brother Lineker taught on a lot of these things that Brother Smith has. And Brother Smith's been able to open up and make it a little more clear. And this morning and today was really something that caught my attention because I hadn't... Well, it's something I put on the shelf before I got here because, I thought I had it figured out. So I've just been waiting for it to come around. And it finally did. And I've seen somewheres where I was headed the right direction, but wasn't quite. I believe that, the Lord is really using Brother Smith to guide and direct us And I know things are getting brighter for our teaching. And I'm ready for the lights to get a little brighter. It's opening my eyes, making me think a little more. And Lord have mercy, just to open my mind enough to be able to take it in and put it all together. Praise the Lord. This has been one wonderful day.
I had a dream the other day that, and I woke myself up whispering in Spanish. And I'm thinking, who am I talking to? I woke myself up talking Spanish. Steve had he was in a dream. He was standing in line with a boarding pass to a ship. Which none of this makes sense to me at first, and then I'm thinking about Dominican Republic. Well, see, I remember when Brother Linegar and Brother Tucker and everybody was helping Haiti, and I've been in and out some in church and out, and we've had some health problems and things like that, and grandchildren and a lot of things distracting. Which they're not a distraction, they're a love, and I appreciate having them, and it's a blessing. But it does get distracting sometimes when they're not in church too, and you're trying to come, and they're there, and you think you can pull them in, and so you get distracted. But I'm not going to let that hinder me. I'm not going to let anything hinder me if I can help it. And God, I pray you help them not to hinder me either, but bless them in the meantime. Don't hurt anybody. If I'm hindered, don't let me affect anybody else's safety. That's what I pray. But also then Steve had a dream about some coins with, what did you say? Big bronze coins with. Some black man he never knew. And I said, well, is it our president? And he said, no, it's nothing like that. It's something I've never seen before. I don't know. It's different. I don't even know who it is. And, I remember Brother Nick Gruitt. You know, he could speak all those languages, and he traveled back and forth. And then we had Sister Hodges here who spoke French. And I thought, well, are we supposed to learn French or Spanish or English or what? You know, but... she was going to college and learning French so she could go to Haiti. Haiti speaks French and Dominican Republic speaks Spanish. Anyway, I couldn't keep up with all of it, but anyway, we've been having those dreams lately, and I'm wondering now, you know, if there's anything about the dreams, because they're so strange. We're just, all of a sudden we started dreaming these dreams. Steve cannot not actually leave the country because he's not able to get a visa. And at one time he couldn't vote, but we worked around that and got him where he could vote. But now we're learning that maybe it's not that important to vote. But I always felt like, you know, everything counts, that we do count as an individual, but well, anyway, I'm going to go to this. Brother Tucker, when he passed away in 1981, I had surgery just before he passed away, about a year or so. And I was working as night chief downtown over 911 for the police department and with the phone company and over Air Ground, Marine Mobile, and all those things. And I don't think I could have done that job without going to this church. It was a great responsibility, and it was a lot of pressure. And anyway, I had a tubal pregnancy, and I'd never heard of it at that time, and I thought the doctors were just making it up and, you know, trying to make money off of us and everything. But I got so ill I couldn't even go. My blood count got down to 2. And they put me in the hospital, and so I had to give up my position because I got ill. I was teaching school here 8 years in a row with a Christian school, volunteering. I wasn't making salary here, but I was getting paid the phone company, and I felt like we could live off that. But I had a child and a nephew that had been entrusted to me. I had a daughter, and then I had a nephew who was entrusted to me to raise. And I had them at the time I got ill and was out 9 months. I couldn't even get my strength back. They didn't give me a transfusion because I had complications. They couldn't do that. So I didn't build my strength right up, and I wasn't able to get back going. I couldn't work in the school, and I couldn't get back to work for about a year. And I had a year's sick leave, and it took all of that for me to get well again. But by the time I got well, Brother Tucker was real sick. And when I came back, I had 2 testimonies. One was that he was like my father. He watched over my soul, and I felt like God had led me to the church and entrusted me in his and Sister Tucker and, you know, the brother and sister's care. I worked with Sister Sue Thompson and Sister Shirley Bailey real closely, and brother and Sister Tucker and Sister Tally, and Sister Inez Watson entrusted her precious son to me, as did the other parents that I was working with. They put me over the small learning center, and then they gave me arts and crafts, which I'd never trained in. They gave me music for the children, which I'd never trained in, but I worked at it and learned how to do it. And I stayed up day and night working on stuff. Then Sister Sue Thompson gave me this store, the school store, which I wouldn't let my daughter eat candy because I didn't want her teeth ruined. And I had learned that I had bad teeth when I was a child because I ate a lot of candy. So I wouldn't let her eat candy. And Sister Sue Thompson put me over the school so that over the store, so I would have to handle the candy store. And I said, oh, please don't do that, because I don't believe in children eating candy. And she said, well, we all need candy sometimes. You know, you can't just cut that off. And I thought, oh, dear. So anyway, I did that too. And I worked with the cheerleaders. We had cheerleaders in our school, and I took them to cheerleading camp every year, which was Pensacola, Florida. And I got to go on vacation one time too. At the end, somewhere, I was off 2 weeks, and we spent with Brother Dahl at their church, and I really enjoyed it. They're real sweet. They're down-to-earth country people. I love them. They're very sweet people. And I learned a lot of things while I was there. I enjoyed it. It was really nice. And I wish we could go again. But I'm glad that they're having the meeting there. That's real exciting to me also. When I first came here to church in, I think, 1963, I was about 12 years old. I helped drive here because they used to give driver's license in Texas at 12. And I was driving and working. I was already working by the time I was 12. I had a job at White's Cafeteria. I worked for the NYC program at the school. The administrator of the school put me over the payroll, and I reorganized the library with Dewey Decimal System in our country school. But we didn't have Christian schools back then. And so I really prayed for our Christian schools, and I was excited when I found out that Brother Tucker was going to open a school here. I thought it was really needed at the time, and it was really a blessing. And I had always prayed to maybe move here. I didn't ever dream that I'd get to, that God would work it around in my life where I get to. But he did. And anyway, before Brother Tucker died, I testified that he was like a father to me, and that I appreciated him watching over my soul, that I felt like, you know, the ministry is a type of the Lord watching over us and kind of helping us. Of course, not putting him on a pedestal like he is God or anything like that. I had a good dad to me, and I respected him like my dad, my father. And I was just giving him that honor, that he's like a good dad to me, watches over me. I feel like I'm with family. I felt safe here. I felt in God's care. I felt like I was advancing in the Lord at the time. And that was my desire. And also, I testified that I wasn't lost, that I was found. That I don't feel lost, I feel found, because I'm in the church where God put me. I'm in the way that God put me, that he led me to, and I feel found. I don't feel lost. I don't feel like a lost sheep. I feel found. And I had a lot of people come to me after service and correct me that he's not my father, he's not God, and I put him up on too high a pedestal, and I said, I'm sorry, I do not. He is just like a dad to me, and like I feel like I can go to him with my whatever's bothering me, and he will give me good advice, as anybody would do that is over you. But I said, he doesn't want us to honor him that way. He teaches us not to honor him that way. He teaches us that we're not to worship any man, but that we are to honor the authority over us, and we're to respect it and to love it and pray for it. And, you know, even our leaders in the country, we're supposed to pray for, because God leads and guides them too, actually, even if it's, you know, for good or bad for us. I mean, because we don't know God's whole plan. We don't know what he's working on exactly at that time. Brother Smith seems to have a pretty good idea. And I'm for that. I really appreciate the Bible teaching that we're getting. I really love the Bible study in the morning. If I don't make the service, I feel like I need that Bible study, because it's feeding my soul. Now, I do love the service, but I know he broadens it and does a little different in the service. We have a more concentrated teaching in the Bible study, and it really is touching my heart. I'm starting to see some more things that I didn't understand or see before, or didn't have clarification on. I feel like he's carrying it one step further than what we've had in the past. That he's clarifying some of the mysteries in the Bible that maybe we hadn't really worked on diligently, maybe didn't have an understanding. I feel like the word is a living word. It is, we're supposed to learn it. It is revealed to us as a living word. And I appreciate being here in the service. I appreciate being in Little Rock. I don't want anything to hinder my service to God. That is my first love, is serving God, serving Jesus as my personal Savior. And I want to work at my salvation with fear and trembling. And I just am so thankful for the vision God has given me. I've seen a lot of clear things just like instantly when they brought it up and things, and I thank God for that vision. I'm just so thankful to be here under this teaching. I could be somewhere else. And I'm so glad that God's made room for me. I just wanted you to know me better. I'm not very, I love people, but I don't really, I don't think people, maybe I don't get to know them well enough, but maybe they don't get to know me well enough to appreciate me more, and I want you to. I'm inviting you to. I love God's people, and that's a gift that God gave me, because I didn't used to like people very much when I was real young. I was a little selfish, and I think that that's one thing I remember, my fleshly part before I knew Jesus, was that I was more self-centered, more as a child. You are, you know, because you've got to survive. But then my mother died when I was young too, and it made me more aware of self-survival. But also it made me turn to God, made me more aware of that there has to be something out there watching over me. She's gone. I need God in my life. I need him to watch over me. And I just want to encourage anybody that doesn't come to the Bible study in the morning, you're missing out, because it's really enriched. And it's just really a blessing, and it helps you to see things a little clearer. We're having more children show up, I think, and that's good for children church, and that's good. I love all of y'all. Pray for me. Pray for my husband. Pray for my children. I don't understand why my children are not in church. I raised them. I dedicated myself in here so they would be here. And I don't know why there's a blindness put over their eyes or something. I don't know. I know I'm not the only one. I know all of us. There's several of us have children that are not here right now. And, you know, that world is so strong. And it has enticements, you know. But if they could get a vision, if they could get that vision that we got, it will enrich their life, and it will help them grow in the Lord. I always loved working with young people because they're so open to God. They're not closed-minded. That's one thing I wanted to say while I'm up. People that prayed for you when Brother Tucker was here, some of them do believe, I think, that you have, like they could pray the bad spirit out, which they could, I guess, if, you know, like, spirits are catching. If somebody has a bad spirit and they talk to you, they could pass that spirit or that feeling to you, maybe. And it talks about familiar spirits in the Bible and things like that. Brother Smith could probably enlighten us on that. Some of the ministers, some of the brothers. But also, like when they pray. But Brother Tucker, I don't know if he, I don't think he, I never felt like he prayed like, I think he was praying for us, that we needed prayer, you know, that we needed to get our life right. I think he didn't he believe that in a that the flesh was the satanic influence? Do y'all know how he taught? I felt like he taught that way. I mean, maybe it was just God protecting me or something. I felt like he did, but I felt like he always tried to take our minds and eyes off him and put our minds and eyes on Jesus, and that we had to work on ourselves and not to judge other people, because Well, for one thing, we'll be judged by what we judge other people, but also the devil didn't make us do it unless the devil's in us, right? Well, anyway, I hope I have it right. I've tried to get it straight. I really want to. And God bless each and every soul here. I love you, and I hope we all get to make the bride and rule and reign together and try to do it in harmony. And I'm glad that God's going to fix it that way so we don't have to go through this again. God bless you. Thank you.
And we're supposed to be lively stones. Stones that can be used in this kingdom. And that coming together sometimes, you know, before the stone and put to use in a house or a building or something of that nature. There's different areas. There might be in a part of a mountain. They might be in the creek. We know we heard that related to us many times that in a creek or where there's a river, where there's living water, where it's flowing, what happens with those stones? You know, those stones knock against each other, get each other smooth, so they can have a use. And that's what I want to be today. I want to be able to be a smooth stone that can be used in this great kingdom that God is building today. And so I really did. I appreciated the thought process behind the spirit in those songs. And wasn't that a wonderful message that Brother Smith gave us today? And those that were a part of the Bible study, we got a chance to, you know, you whet the appetite there, Brother Smith, but you really never got a chance to really get into talking more about the devil subject. I had my pen ready. I was waiting for it, and I know that it's on your mind because of what's coming up with the meeting. I can't wait for you to get back and tell us all about that and to see really where we're moving on this, because we know we are moving forward, right? We're not stagnant. We're not a dead people. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God today, and there's a movement. There's life in this place. The Spirit of God, where it is, there is life. And that's what I appreciate, being able to come into a place where I can feel that. I can feel that life flowing. If we could just lift up our hands and get into that Spirit, you know, we believe in a pressing way. We've been taught, I've been taught many, many years now about sometimes you have to get up and shake the dust off and start moving forward and get that spirit moving, get that pump primed, get going. You know, whenever you hear messages like that today, I know it motivates me. You really caught my attention how you were ending the service, because for a minute there, you threw me a curve. Well, I think you said something in the nature of, in relating to you want to make it as soon as possible. Don't wait for that resurrection. And when you said that, I was thinking, no, wait a minute, okay. I know how we teach. I know what he's saying, but is he saying what I think he's saying? Well, I understand now. I'll just understand. I know I made no sense right then. But what I thought he was saying was basically, right now, make it. I was like, no, wait a minute. I know he doesn't believe that. But but in a sense, you know, we do believe that. We do believe that. There's not really a difference in the way, in the grand scheme of things, in the way our other brethren and us and others, and how we, if I'm not striving today, if I'm not living in as much I know today, if I'm not living in Christ today, in my day, then I don't need to worry about it. I'm not going to make it. This is what I have today. I may not, in my mind, believe in moving out a live soul right now, right? I want to make sure I'm good. I'd love that opportunity right now. I'm just trying to verify, you know, because like I said, he threw that curve, and I was like, oh, wait, I think I understood what he said. But when, as that time comes, that the church is restored, what he was relating to is now, that's the time to do it. We don't, you know, I'm not going to wait around to die to then be resurrected so that I can be a part of that. You know, as soon as it comes available, brother, give me the word. Give me all the spirit. Let's get this. I don't want to say this party started, but let's get this job done. You know, there's something to do today. God has called us to a work, and those songs triggered something in my mind. I was thinking about because I'm not touching obviously that subject that Brother Smith was talking on either one of those today. I'll let the heavy hitters do that. But I was thinking about talking about building. God is building a church, and I just really appreciate. I've been reading lately, or actually I can't say that I've been reading. I've been listening lately. You know, it's very difficult while you're traveling all over the state to read the Bible. I'm just going to pass that along to you. So I'm blessed that in my phone, I can hook it up to Bluetooth, and I have someone read to me. So it's really, appreciate that. But in Nehemiah, where it talks about them building the wall, and we're all very familiar with this being related to us, but there's just a few things here that I was thinking about when those songs came to my mind, or whenever she was singing them, when we were singing them tonight. In Nehemiah 4, and I'll just relate back over, you know, Nehemiah was dealt with to build the wall in Jerusalem. You know, it had been torn down for many years back, and God had put that on his heart. And in here in chapter 4, in chapter 4:4, hear, O God, for we are despised. Because they had, I love these guys' names, Sanballat and Tobiah. Those, you know, that's a good, strong name, Sanballat. His parents didn't like him or something. I don't know. But they were giving him a hard time about, you know, you don't need to be building this wall. What are you doing? What are you doing that? Are you trying to create a kingdom of yourself? Well, we're going to go tell the king on you. I mean, you know, they thought of everything to try to get this guy discouraged. But Nehemiah says, hear, O God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. He was not pulling any stops out. He was saying, God, get them. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. See, Nehemiah is basically, all he's doing is just saying, look, God, hey, look at these guys, what they're saying. You're not going to take that, are you, God? I know you're going to protect us. You're going to take care of us because you've given us these promises. You've called us to this great calling, so you're going to help us to perform the work. And then in verse 6, he said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. A mind to work. How important is that right there? When we have a mind to work, one thing that brings to my mind is unity. We have to have that unity of the spirit and the bonds of peace. You know, the ministry is striving to get into the unity of the faith. But while they're striving to be in the unity of the faith, we need to be in the unity of the spirit. We need to understand that we're all pressing together. We're all moving together toward that common goal, and that is the restoration of the body of Jesus Christ. That is to see a white throne judgment again, like he was talking about here today. We have that vision. Praise God, we have that vision, right, church? That's something we're looking for today. We're not just coming here beating at the air and talking and having, we have a better understanding, I'll say, in relation to who our enemy is and what we're really trying to do, how we're trying to get closer to God, how we're, when we're building that wall around, what are we doing? We're keeping that way as we do. But I'll tell you something. I personally was a news junkie for a while. Okay? Instead of listening to my Bible, man, I had KARN on, and I was listening to all these conservative talk radio shows and everything else, and I was in the know, but, oh, man, I was just tensed up and just, oh, I feel bad. I don't know what's going on, and I was a wreck. And then I realized, well, what are you eating? What are you consuming? I was consuming all that negativity from the news. I shut that stuff off. I've been listening to the Bible, listening to some good music, and would you believe it has changed my mood? Thank the Lord, it has changed my mood. You know, I put up a little bit of a wall right there. And like Brother Smith said, hey, you know, if you be informed, you know, maybe once a week or something of that nature. But I don't need to make myself sick on it, wouldn't you agree, Sister Inez? But I wanted to say I appreciate this, though. This was, that's why I was relating back to you, Brother Talley. I could totally relate to you on the news. But in chapter 4, verse 17, here's another part I was thinking about. They which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And then skip on down to 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. You know, it's a, how's that song Brother Watson always sings? You know, it's a battleground, brother, not a recreation room. You know, we're called to this, you know, in one sense of the word, we're like these brothers from the past, that we are builders. We're trying to build up this work today. But in the other hand, we have that sword. We have to understand, you know what, I have to keep myself protected from the influence of the world. I have to also cut away, allow my flesh as the ministry works on things and shows me a better way to walk, and to walk circumspectly, to look at my life and say, God, is it measuring up? Am I really seeking that relationship with you? That's what I want to ask myself. Am I looking to please you? Am I trying to, as Brother Smith gives the word, as I listen, am I allowing it to take root in my heart, or am I turning that sword into a shovel and throwing it out, saying, "Nah, that's not for me. No, that's not for me. I'm gonna come here. I'm gonna bide my time." But no, Brother Smith, you know what? I'm looking for that church. I want to be a part of that restored church. I want to be a part of building that wall. I want to be a part of God in this today. What is He doing? Whatever He's doing, and you know what? We know what He's doing. We're a part of it. We're a part of this, the body of Christ. And I don't want to say that as just another catchphrase. I don't want to say it as just, well, I'm a part of the body of Christ. You know what? We can say we're non-denominational. We can say that we're a part of a great work. But I personally don't want to make it just another movement. I don't want to just say I'm a part of the body of Christ. I want to know what that means. I want to focus on that. If I say I'm a part of the body, because it isn't like, you know, as Brother Smith related, and I have to take his word on this. I didn't live when he did, and I didn't live further back than that in relation to it being mentioned. But, boy, it's thrown around now like it's just nothing. Oh, the body of Christ this, the body of Christ that. I'm talking about in nominal religion. It's just thrown out there. And I know we can relate that back to, was it in Isaiah 4 where it talks about, it's not Isaiah 4. It's in Proverbs where it's stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You know, our message has gotten out there. Things about the body of Christ have been taught elsewhere now. And you know, it may sound good, but if it's not given in the right context, it can be changed just as we've seen, as he was talking today, the many things that came into the church and polluted it in the early reign. Well, I don't want to get off on a tangent over here. What I wanted to get up and just say is, you know what? I'm going to be here building the wall. I'm here helping to build the body of Jesus Christ. And I know I've got brothers and sisters right beside me that we've got what? We've got a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And we're building this wall today, right? Yeah. We're trying to lift up God's kingdom. So I wanted to get up and do my part. If I could just put one more rock right there, put a little bit of that, I don't know what you call it. I'm not a builder, okay, in the natural sense of the word. So I thank the Lord that he gives me this opportunity, because he knows on the natural side that if I try anything, it turns into, yeah, nothing pretty much. You know, I can't, the nail doesn't go straight. But that's okay, because he's given me a talent. And at the very least, I can get up and I can lift my voice. My hands work today, right? I can praise him. Yeah. I can walk around and say, thank you, Lord, for including me. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Sister Stewart. Thank you, Lord, for including me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. I've been given the opportunity. Now, what I choose to do with it is on me. So I just wanted to say I'm thankful to be here.
I may have to back up on some of what I said this morning. I know when I said it, I thought that was a little bit confusing. But I guess maybe I kind of let the cat out of the bag on something that I've been working on in my mind for a long time. One of the things that I used to talk to Brother Liniger about, I used to say, Brother Liniger, we're only going to have 7.5 years to overcome, because the last prophetical hour, the church is restored, and the last prophetical hour is when there's a resurrection. In Isaiah 11, isn't it? I don't mean Isaiah, Revelation. Got my mind on so many things. Just trying to get my mind ready for this meeting. But the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations, when the seventh angel sounds, and the 18th verse, the nations were made angry, or were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple was opened in heaven. And, of course, the 11th chapter here is dealing with the fall away and the restoration of the church. And he used to try to get Brother Liniger, I used to say, look, there's got to be more time than 7.5 years. It's just not very much time for all these people to resurrect and finish the work of God. Of course, he would say, well, Stephen made it in 3 years, so, you know. But I said, yeah, but the early church had 40 years. And, or at least 37.5, and then a 7.5 years of wrath. So, and judgment. But I have been, you know, one of the things I've been asking God and questioning God about for some time is how we see the early church fell away, and that the hairs in the horse didn't go from white to red instantly, but it was a process of time that the, you know, red hairs began to come in the horse, and finally the horse became red. And sin had entered in. There wasn't any more white hairs. Well, in the restoration of the church, I've been considering and looking in scriptures, but I'll be honest with you, I don't have enough to establish in my mind that we're going to have more time than 7.5 years. But the church is in a restoring process for 30 years, a 30-year period. And at the end of that 30 years, there's a restoration. Well, I'm considering that there's got to be white hairs develop in that horse, that some people are going to be able to make it at some point. And what I mentioned this morning, I guess my mind was working ahead of me when I said you might as well get, you know, you put make up your mind to make it before you would have to resurrect. Don't work for a resurrection, because some of you are going to be living during a time when you can make it. And, of course, some people are going to be living when they could make it, but they could die before they made it and still get a resurrection. I know that may be confusing to some people, but it's just that way. There's going to be some people that are living during the time that there's going to be a resurrection, and they could live up until the resurrection, or they could die prior to. Well, what I was referring to this morning is when that resurrection takes place, the beast is going to have spoken. But I can see where we're going to enter into more and more persecution in this 30-year period. We're entering a time right now when you're going to be in trouble with the government. I'm going to say way before this next 19 years is up, if you're preaching against homosexuality and you're going to be very possibly charged with hate crimes, the beast is fully formed and comes into its full functionality, just like the Bible, I mean the body, before it is fully restored. But there's going to be, it looks to me like that we're going to move into a place where there's going to be men that are going to move into this first, and a ministry that's going to lead God's people into the full operation of God. So what I said this morning when I said, you know, you better go ahead and make up your mind to make it, I didn't mean right now, this minute, but I meant as quick as it can be made. The earlier you make it, the less persecution, the less trouble you're going to see. But I don't think anybody's going to make it without dying out to self, and no matter what God has to put you through to make it. So I may ought to back up a little bit on trying to make it that there's a time that you can make it easier than another time. I know what I said sounded that way, but I don't know that we're going to be able to hold to that. But what I'm saying is don't put all of your eggs in the basket of a resurrection. Strive to do all you can do to overcome sin right now, all of your life, and I think that's what makes you just anyway. What's going to make you just is the fact that you're striving lawfully and trying to obey God in everything that you know to do. And therefore, you'll make the bride as quickly as it can be made. If you're lacking anything when you die, there'll be a resurrection. But some people are going to, there's some of you that are young enough to move out a live soul and highball the graveyard. We've said that, you know, you could highball the graveyard. There's some people like me and Brother McGowan and some of us other, you know, like Brother Weiniger here, we're probably going to go the way of our fathers before this all actually comes into effect. But the Lord is the final answer on this. And you need to tell the Lord, if I could be a white hare in the white horse, some of the early first white hares, I want to be one. Lord, I'm making myself available to make that transformation. So that's what I was actually saying when I said what I did, and I may have, you know, I had never said anything to y'all about considering and praying and looking in the scriptures to see whether or not there's a time frame that the bride could be made prior to the last prophetical hour. One thing, there's not going to be a resurrection before the last prophetical hour, but when they come up, there's going to have to be a church restored, and there's going to have to be the availability of a white horse. And I don't know that that's going to be instantaneous. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking to see if God would show us that where we're maybe missing something, that there may be some first fruits that'll move into these positions before. Anyway, when I get to working in the book of Revelation, it all more clear to me. But when I stay away from it like I have lately, you know, I hadn't been just delving into it. I wish you'd pray for me. I'm trying to get the time and the zeal and really the leading of the Lord to sit down in front of a camera, not with a camera on me, but with a camera on the Bible, and go through the book of Revelation chapter and verse and explain it according to my present understanding. Just to help the brethren, you know, until you get an understanding, you can't adjust or correct anything. You've got to have an understanding first before you can fix things. You know, it's just like that. Anything that you study, any subject, you've got to come to a certain understanding before you can add to it, take away from it, make adjustments, or edit it. You've got to have certain understanding, and then you can look at it and say, that right there needs fixed. You know, I don't care if you're studying the English language or whatever, there's still laws about English that I don't understand. You know, I know English teachers understand it, and they can help you fully understand the laws of a language. I've tried to get them in the Dominican Republic to tell me some things about how do you know. I've asked, I don't know how many people over there, how do you know whether you're to put la or el in front of a word? Because all their words are either feminine, and I'm not talking about their verbs, but their nouns. They're feminine or they're masculine, like la casa, the house, but that's feminine. But the C is el mar, M-A-R is the C. Well, you have to put L in front of the C, but you put law in front of a house. But if you're talking about a van, like a little van, that's a la guagua. But a car is el carro. I've asked them, how do you know which one to put before it? What tells me if it's feminine or masculine? They say it just don't sound right. You can't say that. You can't say la carro. I said, why can't you? Well, it don't sound right. Well, they heard it, you know, just like our little kids. You wouldn't say, there's some things you wouldn't say in the English language. It don't make sense. Well, when they hear it, that don't sound right. So we don't say it, but there's a rule of why you use the masculine. Now, I have found out that, you know, if it ends in an A, I've found exceptions. If it ends in an A, then most of the time it has a la, it's feminine. If it ends in an O, it's almost always masculine and it has an L in front of it. See, there's probably some Spanish students in here. Yeah, but I guarantee you Sister Linda can't give us the rule. Can you, Sister Linda? The rule of why nouns are feminine or masculine and why you put an L or a la in front of them. Well, I'm just trying to show you that once you understand, you know, once you get, like the book of Revelation is a mystery. It's a prophetical mystery that God's hidden, that he's opening up for the latter rain. And once you, you know, the more of it that's revealed to you, the more you understand the rest of it. And so when I find out what the rule is, I'll tell y'all about la and el in the Spanish language. But there, if it ends in an E, it could be la or el. So it's like almost everything has to do with a woman. Well, if you're talking about a woman, even the verb ends in a A pretty well. You know, a girl, a muchacha, a boy is a muchacho. And if you're talking to a woman, you're going to end things in an A rather than end them in an O. But if it's a man, you know, like for an example, a bathroom. Where's the bathroom? ¿Dónde está el baño? You're asking, where's the men's restroom? Because it ends in an O. But if you say, ¿Dónde está el baño? That's a woman's restroom. And you don't have to say, el baño para mujeres, or, you know, for women. You don't have to say that. When you ended in an A, you told them what you was looking for. They know what you're saying. So there's rules, you know, that I'm just using that as an example. There's rules to prophecy and symbolic language that God, and the more you understand how God talks in prophetical language or symbolic language, the more it unlocks the key. So anyway, I'm just saying I would like to give what I have. I think if I put it down like that, then I might be able to get somebody, you know, somebody that can take that audio and put it to type, maybe put it in a book form, but at least I'd like to put it in a DVD form. So at least someone could, you know, I'm not trying to portray that I've got so much, but what I do have, I'd like to leave it. I'd like to give it. And others can work on it from there. Because we don't have very much stuff on the book of Revelation. There's not very many men in the body that can just explain it. So, you know, there's men that have gifts that I don't have that they help me in areas that I need help in. The areas God's helped me in, I want to share it. I want to give it out. So, anyway, I'm still working. I'm revealing to you that there's things that I'm still looking for. But I will tell you that when I get in it and start working in that book, in that prophecy, and my mind gets quickened, I can emphatically tell you some things that can't be and some things that's going to be. And I might be able to tell you why what I'm saying right now can't fly. But right now my mind, you see, one time Brother Patton told me, said, he was riding with Brother William Siders one time. They was young. And there were several of them in the car. And one of them asked Brother William Siders a question, a Bible question, on something that he taught. He said, ask me later. My mind's not working right now. Well, I'm starting to understand that. I'm starting to realize that if God's, you know, if your mind's not working, God's not, you know, you're not connected right now. You just well quit trying to work on it. Anyway, I hope at least that's some explanation for you, Brother Fisher, of what I was saying this morning. My mind was thinking maybe a little bit ahead of myself and maybe a little bit ahead of what I've said to y'all, but it kind of got exposed, I guess. Hallelujah. Well, what do we need to do here? What? Let's go home. I think we're done for the night today. You know, we've had a full day. It's been good. See, y'all, I might have held you late, but I'm letting you go early. Don't forget that we do stuff like this. See, it comes back to you. All this, it works And even for some of you, Sister Tara, see, you should have been here this morning, and you'd know why you're getting to go home early this afternoon. But you'll never know. You'll never figure it out. You just have to happen another time. Unless maybe Brother Zach will break it all down for you and help you with it. Praise God. Let's stand up and give God a praise. Go home and rest your bodies. Let God bless you this week. Direct your steps. Pray for the meeting. And Brother Tally and Brother Mike Crafton and Brother Jerry York are leaving tomorrow, I guess, sometime, aren't you, brother? In the morning to drive to this meeting in Jacksonville for. Pray for their trip. I've before they made up their mind, I got tired of waiting on them. I booked me a flight. If I knew they was going, I'd have rode with them. I'd have went in the car, but I went ahead and got me a flight to get down there a day early to get my mind clear. Try to, get ready for this meeting that's coming up. So pray for our meeting this week, the ministry of God that are coming together to try to help the people of God with these deep understandings. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your direction, your ministry. Oh, God, bless this meeting this week, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, touch your men. Protect them as they travel.